Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified." Purport. A Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, "Jagai madhai hoite mui se papishtha, puri she rakit hoite mui se laghishtha." Thus he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worm in the stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure Vaishnava actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure, exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, "Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari." One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So yesterday in the 7th canto, we discussed about how Hiranyakashipu represents inauspicious desires caused by the curse of the Kumaras, and Prahlad Maharaj represents the auspicious desires or Shubh Ichha caused by the Vaishnav Kripa, the blessings of the Vaishnav Shripad Narad Muni. And subsequently, Jay and Vijay are born as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyaksha being killed by Varaha Dev, an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, angers Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu is pacifying Hiranyaksha's wife Rushabahu and his own mother by speaking philosophy. The philosophy is perfect, but the character of the person speaking the philosophy is not aligned with what the Bhagavad expects. And therefore, now Hiranyakashipu, after pacifying his family members who are experiencing the grief on the death of Hiranyaksha, now Hiranyakashipu develops the ambition to become the most powerful person in the entire creation and use his power to torment the 33 crore demigods, to control over everyone and enjoy unlimitedly. He wants to become the controller, enjoyer, proprietor, master, And with that desire, he starts performing austerities to please Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ajayam Ajaramaram Atmanam Apratidvandvam Ekatatman Vyadhatsatam Ekarajam Vyadhitsate. In this one verse, what is a demoniac psychology is revealed. There are five characteristics described in this verse of a demoniac thinking. Hiranyakashipu Rajan. First, Ekarajam. He wants to be the sole king. Second, Ajayam. He has to be unrivaled. Nobody can conquer over him. Third, Ajara Amaram. His third desire is to be deathless, no death. A Pratidvandvam. The fourth desire is no enemy should be able to stand in front of me. And fifth is there is absolutely nobody in this creation who should have any disagreement with me. So therefore, with this desire, Hiranyakashipu goes and performs austerities standing on one toe for thousands of years, and is able to balance himself perfectly standing on that toe. He is influenced, or he is subjected to the influence of harsh weather, the natural, you know, cycles of the weather beat upon him, but none of that affects him. The harsh nature doesn't affect or does not disturb his physical balance, but the soft nature, Prahlad Maharaj, disturbed his ego balance. So amongst all the elements, the most difficult to balance is the ego. And hence, what are the signs of spiritual immaturity? The first sign of spiritual immaturity is one has pride in one's own spiritual knowledge. The second sign is one speaks the truth without having the right kind of grace. Break the hearts of others. The third symptom of spiritual immaturity is one has the grace but does not have the guts to speak the truth. And fourth, is an immature person is very eager to tell people how he is mature. And fifth is, spiritual immaturity leads us to judge others. And we can only create spiritual transformation through unconditional love and not through judgment. And therefore, the influence of the false ego creates this spiritual immaturity. And we need to be transformed spiritually. Mora karma mora hathe golaye bandhiya kuvishaya vishta garthe diya che phelaiya. Rupa and Sanatan tell the Lord, we are actually very spiritually immature. We are trying to make choices which will pull us down deeper into the pit of sense gratification. Ku vishaya vishtha garthe diya che phelaiya. Therefore, we are not qualified to deliver ourselves, to save ourselves. We need your merciful intervention. Vaman yaiche chand, dhorite chahe kore, taiche eivancha more uthaye antare. You are like the moon. We are like the dwarf. The dwarf cannot reach out and touch the moon. But the moonshine can come and touch the dwarf anytime. Therefore, your grace can affect and influence us anytime. And therefore, here, Hiranyakashipu's intention is revealed through this verse. Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ajayam Amaratmajam Atmanam Apratidvandvam. And at this point, Hiranyakashipu has the desire, and he actually orders all of his associates, before he goes for the austerities, to create havoc and destroy the Brahminical culture. And this is a very, very important principle, that when Brahminical culture is destroyed, practically the ability to perform yajna, to engage in swadhyaya and shastric study, everything is destroyed. Now, as Hiranyakashipu performs his austerity, Brahmaji appears and manifests. And so Brahmaji is described as follows. Tavasanam dvijaggavam parameshtyam jagatpate. He is parameshtyam jagatpate, the lord of the creation. And what are some of his activities as the supreme administrator of the creation? Bhavaya shreyase bhutyai kshemaya vijayaya cha. So when we speak about administration, which technically in Sanskrit is known as shasan, so the Sanskrit root shas, it has three manifestations. First is shastra, the sound vibration which rules, controls and disciplines us. Shas means to rule, shas means to control, shas means to discipline. So the sound vibration which controls us is shastra. Then, so like for example, Bhagavad Gita is a shastra. It controls us. The sound vibration, the instructions, we allow those instructions to control our choices. When the devotees were distributing books in the west coast of America, they came across a lot of people who were very influenced by New York Times best-selling book of that time, in the early 1970s. And the name of that book was I Am Okay, You Are Okay. And when the devotees would show them the Gita, they would tell, we don't want this, we want I Am Okay, You Are Okay. So the devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and said, when we show the Gita, people are telling us they want I Am Okay, You Are Okay. What should we say? Prabhupada said, show them the Bhagavad Gita and tell them this Bhagavad Gita is I Am Okay, You Are Not Okay. And you need to change. You need to understand spiritual knowledge. So we allow the spiritual knowledge to control us. It is called Shastra. The student of Shastra who allows himself to be controlled by a living representative of the Shastra is known as Shishya. That also comes from Shasudhatu. Shishya means I allow myself to be controlled by another person for my own benefit. Then third is shasan, which is We allow the rules and regulations and laws to regulate us, to control us. Policies, laws, rules, regulations is called Shasan, administration. And when none of these three work, then the fourth manifestation of Shas or rule is Shastra, weapons. So human beings are supposed to be regulated by the first three. Beyond these three, it is considered to be animalistic. And therefore, if we are looking at administration, what are the, as far as the Vedic leadership paradigm is concerned, what is a leader in the Vedic system supposed to be administering? What are the expected outcomes of the administration for a Vedic leader? So that is described here. Tava asanam dvija gavam. First, he has to create rules, regulations and policies in such a way that he creates the right environment which is auspicious for the cows. Auspiciousness for the cows must be created. This is the first function and duty of administration. Second, dvija, create auspiciousness for the brahmanas. Create an ecosystem where spiritual knowledge will flourish. And bhavaya shreyase bhutyaihi, produce all of that from the earth which is best for the world. Shreyase bhavaya bhutyaihi. And then fourth, kshemaya, help in flourishing dharma for both the people and the planet. How dharma can be enhanced, increased. And fifth, vijayaya cha, how to create auspiciousness and improvement in people's lives. So in this simple one verse, all the various facets of what an administration should include and involve are described. Bhavaya shreyase bhutyai kshemaya vijayaya cha. Kshemaya vijayaya means auspiciousness and improvement. Bhutyai means flourishing dharma for the people and the planet. And bhavaya shreyase means producing that which is best for the world, along with creating auspiciousness for the brahmanas and the cows. And therefore, a leader is supposed to inspire trust through his credibility and competence. He has to create vision. And that vision basically means clarity of where we are supposed to go, clarity of how we are supposed to go. The leader has to execute the strategy, which is to consistently achieve the results with others, through various processes and disciplines. And ultimately, the leader has to inspire and facilitate the potential by which the ability of each and every person to perform, solve problems and grow is ultimately enhanced. That's what leadership ultimately means. The confidence in a leader is based on our confidence in the leader's character and competence, and their ability to inspire trust, create vision, execute strategy, and facilitate potential. So Srila Prabhupada, he was in Sitakant Banerjee Lane in Kolkata. On the first floor of his house, he had allowed the Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis to study Hari Namamrita Vyakaran, which is Sanskrit grammar. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's disciple, his name was Dolo Govinda Shastri. He was teaching Sanskrit Harinamamrita Vyakaran to the Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis on Srila Prabhupada's first floor of the house. Dolo Govinda Shastri every day would come, teach the Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis, and one day he just walked out and sat on the stairs next to Srila Prabhupada, who was at that time a grihastha, and Dolo Govinda Shastri used to call him Abhay Babu. So he sat next to Prabhupada and said, "Abhay Babu, I just gave a lecture to all the brahmacharis." And what was the lecture? Prithvityache Jyoto Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Moranam. In every town and village, my holy name will spread. I gave the lecture. But I don't know whether that will ever happen. That in every town and village all over the world, the holy name will spread. How is it possible? So Srila Prabhupada, he got up, took two steps down, turned around, and pointing to Dolo Govinda Shastri, he said, "If Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that prediction, it has to happen." And then Srila Prabhupada took two steps down further, turned around, and speaking to Dolo Govinda Shastri, he said, "Someday a fool who surrendered at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will make it happen." And Srila Prabhupada took two steps down further. And in that period, Dolo Govinda Shastri started thinking, will that person be me? Because he was also Saraswati Thakur disciple. Prabhupada turned around and pointing to Dolo Govinda Shastri, he said, "It will not be you." And Dolo Govinda Shastri at that time, he thought, what does Abhay Babu think? He's going to do or what? How can he do it? He's a grihastha, he's a businessman, he's always thinking money, money, money. So nobody could imagine that Srila Prabhupada, being a grihastha, Jai Shri Srinada Gokulananda Ji Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, a grihastha with so many business and financial responsibilities, will be able to accomplish this. But Srila Prabhupada took the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur to his heart. That was his most powerful asset. In the material world, to accomplish something, you need the asset of skill as the primary requirement. Whereas in devotional service, the primary requirement is the asset of submission to the sound vibration. The sound vibration of the Shastra, the sound vibration which comes via the Guru Parampara. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions in this particular section, the nature of this material world is even Brahma's position is not secure. Because Brahma is now confronted with a situation he wanted to avoid, where Hiranyakashipu has performed the bona fide tapasya, for which Brahma has to come in front of him and respond to him. Brahma knows the consequence of that, but he cannot avoid it. That is the nature of this material world, perplexity. So now when Brahmaji comes in front of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu falls on the ground and starts offering his prayers. First he glorifies Brahmaji and then finally he says, Yadi dasyasi abhimatan varanme varadottama bhute bhyastvad vistrishte bhyo mrityur mabhur varaprabho. My dear Lord, if you really want to please me, you offer me a benediction by which I will not be killed. Mrityur mabhu. And how I will not be killed? Nantar bahir divanaktam anyasmat apichayudhaihi. Na bhumau na ambare mrityur na narayir na mrigairapi. I should not be killed inside the house. I should not be killed outside the house. I should not be killed in the day. I should not be killed at night. Na bhumau, I should not be killed on the earth. Na ambare, I should not be killed in the sky. Na narair, I should not be killed by human beings. Na mrgair, I should not be killed by animals. Because Hiranyakashipu still had the phobia of his brother's killing. That Vishnu killed him by taking the form of a hog or a pig, Varaha. He says, no. Na narair, na mrgair. And in this way, he mentioned this. And Lord Brahma was processing all of this. And he was thinking, this person is so crooked. And he has put all conditions in place. So Brahmaji warned him. Tata ime durlaba pumsam vyan vrinishve varan mama. My dear Hiranyakashipu, please know that the benedictions you are asking for is durlabhan, which is very rare. The rarer a privilege is, the heavier it is to handle and maintain. Yan vranishe varan mama tathapi bitarami anga varan yadyapi durlabhan. So again, durlabha varan, varan durlabha. So both vara and durlabha he uses twice to warn. Think again before asking for such benedictions. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the rare boons which are difficult to attain are also difficult to maintain. Anything in this world, if we aspire for and we think, I must attain, you may attain it, but you will find it difficult to maintain also. Nothing comes free. Somebody came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I have one factory here in Jaipur, one factory in Delhi, one factory here. But so many problems with all businesses, I am not able to sleep at night. Prabhupada said, you give all the profits of your factory to ISKCON, you sleep peacefully. He got bewildered. He said, Swamiji, I'll take your leave. Prabhupada said, give me your address. He says, no, I have your address. I'll come to you when I want. So Prabhupada said that people think that artha is the cause of their sukh or pleasure. But it is not a fact. The cause of one's pleasure is when our will is aligned with the will of the Lord. When our desire is aligned with how to please the Lord. And therefore, material benedictions can become a curse if we take more than what is necessary. So never take benedictions more than what one can enjoy. And so, Brahmaji gave that benediction, which was going to become a curse. And then Hiranyakashipu used that power to control the 330 million demigods. And he very ruthlessly made sure that the seasons were under control, reversed the cycle of punya and papa, by which doing punya you would go to then, you know, naraka, and by doing papa you would go to swarga, and every kind of reversal he made possible. So one may think that if someone has such control, he would be so blissful, so happy. He has everything going for him. Sa ittham nirjita kakub ekarad vishayan priyan yato pajoshan bunjano natripyat ajitendriya. Hiranyakashipu's position was nirjita kakub ekarad. He was the one supreme controller who could not be conquered by anyone in the whole universe. No rival. Complete supreme controller. Yathopa josham bunjano, and the supreme enjoyer, every sense object in the entire creation was available for Hiranyakashipu to enjoy. So if one has the combination of total control and total enjoyment facilities, so one may think, what else is required in life? But what was his situation? Na atripyat. He was fully dissatisfied. Why? Ajitendriya. His senses were not under control. So the cause of pleasure is not access to sense objects, but the root cause of pleasure and satisfaction is our ability to restrict our senses, to control our senses. That is the main cause of the ultimate satisfaction and joy. Evamaishwaryamattasya driptasyutra srashtavartinah kalo mahan vyatiyaya brahmashapam upayuta. So at this time, evam aishwarya mattasya. So now this particular section describes, how do you know that a person is about to be heavily cursed? Am I on the path of curse, or am I on the path of benedictions and blessings? So the first symptom that I am on the trajectory of being cursed is lack of sense control. Lack of sense control is the first symptom. The second symptom is evam aishwarya mattasya driptasya, pride. Pride is the second symptom. And third, utsrashtra vartinah, utshastra vartinah, which is transgression of shastra. So when I can't control my senses, when I am overwhelmed with pride and I break the shastric principles, then I am just on the path of being cursed. So that is the whole, you know, principle of how one gets heavily cursed on the path of devotional service. On the path in this material world, anywhere. So these three principles are very, very powerful: lack of sense control, pride, and transgression. And pride is something which can creep up even while practicing bhakti. Srila Prabhupada's one disciple, he was very instrumental in building the Krishna Balaram temple. Lot of collection, lot of resources, at some point he started thinking that this temple is being built because of me. And Prabhupada directed that. So this devotee was sleeping in Vrindavan. Prabhupada sent his secretary, said, call him. It was 1 o'clock at night. So this devotee went and woke up this, wake up, Srila Prabhupada is calling. He said, well, what happened? Looked at the time, it's 1 o'clock. Prabhupada is calling at 1 o'clock? He got nervous. He ran to Srila Prabhupada, offered his obeisance. Srila Prabhupada, you call me? Prabhupada said, yes. Says, Srila Prabhupada, how can I serve you? Prabhupada said, what were you doing? He said, Prabhupada, I was sleeping. Prabhupada said, why were you sleeping? He said, Prabhupada, it is night. It's 1 o'clock. Prabhupada said, it is night for me also. I am not sleeping. I am translating. He says, Prabhupada, I was tired working all day. Prabhupada said, I was also tired. Still I am translating. Why are you sleeping? He says, Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, why are you not a pure devotee? So he got bewildered. He looked at Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, what should I do? Prabhupada said, go back to sleep. On the way back, he kind of figured out, looks like something is wrong. Maybe my actions are powerful, but my attitude is not proper. And therefore, when there is lack of sense control, when there is pride, and then when we transgress Shastra, we are in a very dangerous position. So now the demigods, they are bewildered. And the demigods approach Lord Vishnu for shelter. And when they approach Lord Vishnu for shelter, they are praying to Lord Vishnu. Yada deveshu vedeshu goshu vipreshu sadhushu dharme mai cha vidvesha sava ashu vinashyati. Lord Vishnu looks at the demigods and tells them, please understand that however powerful Hiranyakashipu may be, he is ultimately on the path of destruction. What are the 6 ways by which one gets destroyed? Yada deveshu, when one offends the demigods, the devatas. Vedeshu, when one transgresses the Vedas. Goshu, when one insults the cows. Vipreshu, when one insults the brahmanas. Dharme, when one transgresses dharma. Mai, and when one insults and offends Krishna. Sava ashu, very soon vinashyati. He's destroyed. That person is very soon destroyed. And therefore, Lord Vishnu recommends to all the demigods that please understand that Hiranyakashipu will ultimately have a son who will be a pure devotee. What kind of son will he be? Nirvairaya prashantaya svasutaya mahatmane praharadaya yada druhyet hanishyepi varorjitam. That son of Hiranyakashipu will have divine qualities. He will be nirvairaya. He will be without any enemies. Prashantaya, he will be perfectly peaceful. Mahatmane, he will be mahatma. And when against such a great Vaishnav devotee, son, praharadaya yada druhyet, when he offends him, attacks him, hanishyepi, he will be destroyed. Varorjitam, in spite of having all the benedictions from Brahma. like that. And therefore, Lord Vishnu is making this benediction right at the very beginning. And so in this verse which we read in today's beginning of the class, Prahlad Maharaj's divinity is being revealed. Brahmadayo suragana muniyotta siddhaha sattvaikatana vachasam pravahai. How do you expect me to glorify you, my dear Lord? I am born in asura family. Naraditam puruganai adunapi viproho kim toshtum arhati. I do not have the power and the ability to satisfy you and please you because I am full of rajogun and tamogun. How can I satisfy you? So here is the difference between Hiranyakashipu, who was pride personified, and Prahlad, who is humility personified. Prahlad was called upon by the demigods because when Narasingadeva was roaring and screaming in anger, looking in all directions after killing all the demon associates of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu, the demigods got scared because they could see Narasingadeva's anger growing. So they got scared that now after killing all the demons, he should not start killing demigods. And somebody has to pacify him. So they looked at Lakshmi Devi and said, "You pacify." She said, "I've never seen my husband like this." Then they looked at Brahmaji, "You are the one responsible for giving benediction to Hiranyakashipu. You go." Brahmaji looked at Prahlad, said, "Prahlad, it was your father. You go." And then what 330 million demigods could not dare to do, Prahlad did, to come in front of the Lord when he was anger personified to pacify him. So that itself was a major accomplishment. When we do some seva which nobody else is able to do, we tend to feel very special. But Prahlad is saying, I am born in an asura family. I do not have the power to please you. And therefore, my dear Lord, please forgive me. His humility personified. So therefore, this section is demonstrating how when we are blessed by the devotees, divinity manifests. And when we are cursed by the devotees, demoniac and inauspicious qualities manifest. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You just said cursed by the devotees, so just wanted to know if devotees can curse and should curse.
Basically, the pleasure of the devotees is what is known as benediction, and when the devotees are displeased, then that displeasure of the devotees is what is known as the curse. Devotees may not have to verbalize it. So Shripad Ramanujacharya describes 12 types of, you know, Vaishnav Aparadha. Radha means satisfaction. Aparadha means apaghata radha, diminishing satisfaction. So when we experience diminishing satisfaction in bhakti, it means we have displeased the devotees. So he talks about 12 types of such offenses. He says, first is janma nirupan, judging a devotee based on their birth. that such and such birth is higher, this is lower, judging like that. Second, sharira nirupan. To judge based on a particular body, to think that, you know, so and so, Hanumanji is not human being, he's in a monkey form and things like that. That is called sharira nirupan. Third is bhava nirupan, to judge based on age. Dhruva Maharaj's mother thought he's a small boy, you know, can be dealt with in any way. No, even if young, somebody may be very advanced. Fourth is ashram nirupan, to consider one ashram to be superior to another ashram. Then fifth is avyaya nirupan, to judge some devotee based on deformity, you know, any disability, physical disability. Alasya nirupan means to judge a Vaishnav based on their bodily habits, that based on their eating or their sleeping or any other behavioral traits. Vasa nirupan means to consider those who are born in holy dham to be superior and to kind of minimize others who are not born in holy dham. Bandhu nirupan means to not take family members who are devotees seriously and not respect them, thinking that they are part of my family, so I can deal any way with them. Prakasha nirupan means to only respect the guru and think others, they don't need that level of respect. Prakara nirupan means to respect the well-known, intimate associates of the guru and to neglect other devotees. Because we know, oh, this person is close to guru, so we should respect. But others, no matter. 11th is Vartan Nirupan, to consider one occupation in which a devotee may be engaged in as lower or higher. And the last is Dosha Nirupan, to see faults in the devotees in the scripture. Like, why Draupadi has to marry 5 husbands? So what is your problem? So these 12 types of Vaishnava apradhas are given. And the 12 varieties are given not to encourage more apradh, but as a warning that we have to try to avoid this. So when we displease the devotees, what happened was, Rupa Goswami was sitting in meditation and he had his eyes closed. And in the meditation, he was seeing Radharani was trying to pull down some flowers from a branch. But she was not able to reach that branch. So Krishna comes and Krishna lifts Radharani. And when Krishna lifts Radharani, she is able to hold the branch with one hand, and with the other branch, she starts plucking the flowers. At that time, Krishna leaves Radharani. So the branch is strong and stronger than Radharani's weight. So the branch pulls Radharani up. And so she's then hanging frantically and crying out, holding both hands and crying out to Krishna, "Why did you leave me?" And Krishna is clapping his hands and laughing. And seeing that pastime, Rupa Goswami starts smiling in his meditation. That is the moment where one Vaishnav walks right in front of Rupa Goswami, who is physically handicapped, and he walks with a limp. And when he sees Rupa Goswami smiling, he thinks, he's smiling at my limp. He's smiling because I can't walk properly. And that Vaishnav becomes upset. Suddenly Rupa Goswami's vision, meditation disappears. And Rupa Goswami is wondering, what happened? I was seeing the Leela. Where did the Leela disappear? And so he consults Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami says, you may have, you know, displeased some Vaishnav. Where I will displease, Baba? I was sitting in meditation. You may have displeased. Now how will you find out whom you have displeased? You announce a feast. Whoever is displeased will not come for the feast. You know, this rule applies those days, not now. Now you will have the feast also and then say, okay, how I was displeased. So sure enough, in that closed communities of Vaishnavas, this particular devotee did not come. So then Rupa Goswami went and apologized. So that is how subtle this whole principle is. Like that, okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Itai Gopremanandi.